I just recorded every bit of that. Okay.
Fire.
Hey guys, it's Michael Stahl.
I'm Zach.
And we are so excited that you guys are tuning in
for so excited.
Oh, he should not have control of the buttons. Who let this happen?
I did.
Okay, that's right. we're thrilled that you guys are tuning in for another episode. Today, we just want to explain what led up to Unmasked Culture being created. Give a little insight on Zach and I and kind of what brought us to this place that we want to talk about our mental health to people and discuss.
Need to talk about our mental health to people.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a much better way to phrase it. Like, we need to talk about our mental health, not necessarily we want. Zach and I really struggled with really getting this podcast or this episode started because we're like,
we had four takes, everybody.
Because we're like, where do we begin? But I think we just want to share just our journey, what's brought us here, what we've gone through, why we're passionate about this, and why we want to help others. And then we want to give you some resources that you can utilize to start the conversation, which is our tagline. So the more you practice being vulnerable, the more you talk about like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, the easier it gets to do it down the road.
For sure. I mean, it's just like anything. I mean, it's not going to be comfortable at first. I mean, let's just equate it to, you know, playing an instrument. You're not going to know what you're doing at first.
Right.
You're going to stumble your way through it, but eventually it'll feel second nature.
So I want to transition to kind of the taking it from, yeah, these are the statistics, this is the problem, that's great and all, everyone can Google that, but like, let's transition to like, what does this look like for us? Okay. Like, why is it that we are in this space having this conversation, and like, what are our, you know, why are we so passionate that we're even willing to put ourselves out here like this?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
No.
No?
I'm going to be really honest right here.
Okay.
No, I don't want to go first.
All right. Well, you know what? I guess I can do that. So.
Because I don't know where to go with this, so yeah, I'm going to let you go first. There's a lot.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my journey starts, I look at it in two different ways. My journey starts back in growing up, like in general. Mm-hmm. But the first kind of catalyst of change in my life where I realized what was really happening was probably back in 2019. Mm-hmm. I was back home here in Indiana from college. I think it was my junior year of college. I want to say it's my junior year. And I was back here. And so what had happened was I had just got out of a really unhealthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know it at the time. It took me a while to look back and see like, hey, that was not a good thing for me, both like mentally and physically and spiritually. Like, it just was not a good thing for me, but I couldn't see it in the moment. And I, you know, luckily I had some good friends and I had some good people in my life that were like trying to show that to me with love and like, hey, like, this isn't good.
You'd surrounded yourself with good people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like that helped a little bit, but I was stubborn. And so I kind of just kept doing my own thing.
Was stubborn.
You're not wrong. So, but anyways, like everyone around me was, you know, predicting, it ended really poorly. And which was heartbreaking at the time because I'm like, man, I thought this person was the one.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the first, I always think of like, I have this image of dominoes in my head. Like, that was the first domino that like fell, and then it hit another one because it was out of that time of dealing with everything and realizing like, hey, I'm not okay. I'm not in a good place headwise. Mm-hmm. I started actually having to confront stuff that happened throughout my childhood. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like some areas of trauma that I had to go through that I wasn't even fully aware until it resurfaced.
Yeah.
And then just this kind of sense of wanting to fit in because I had a heart condition growing up, which meant I couldn't be like athletic. I couldn't do sports. I couldn't fit in with those groups. Mm-hmm. And so like I would do everything I could to like kind of fit in with whoever and just kind of, I didn't really have a solid friend group. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of bouncing around and really trying to find who I was. And then, so that was part of it. And that kind of came up because I'm like, who even am I? Mm-hmm. And after that, it was just coming back to Indiana and having to be in the same kind of climate where all that was. Like, there was just a lot going on. And then throughout most of that, I had a really good friend, and his name was Z, and he was like, he was a brother to me. Mm-hmm. And we would talk about things, we would work through it. I would vent to him, and I would never really open up to people. Like, mm-hmm. that just wasn't something I did. Mm-hmm. So I just hold on to it and hold it and just kind of like try to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just somehow my buddy Z and I, we built the relationship where I feel comfortable like telling you like I'm not in a good place. Mm-hmm. And maybe looking back, it was like kind of a cry for help because I'm like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Kind of at my last straw. Mm-hmm. And he really helped me. We just talked and he was able to open up about things he was going through. And, you know, we just kind of bonded and I just knew he was there. And that really helped. That was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And then I was able to start the conversation with my parents and be like, hey guys, I am not in a good place. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of the change too, was the more people I let inside of my head, mm-hmm. and know what was going on, the lighter that felt on my shoulders. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not having to carry this alone. And I had people walking alongside of me and like, hey, like, maybe you should go into counseling. And I said, no.
Yeah.
I will not be doing that.
A lot of people, unfortunately, say that.
I know. And that's the thing, is I was like, counseling is for people who are like sick.
Yeah.
And don't, or like crazy.
Newsflash, it is not.
No, exactly. It's not. Like, I literally was like eating up all the stigmas that was fed to me, mm-hmm. about like counseling, about seeking help. And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't need that. I'm not that bad. As I'm literally like planning out how to end it. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I was that bad and I did need the help. And so I eventually caved and I went to a therapist here in town, and he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I say that in the moment, I was like, I don't need this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
My parents are basically making
me. You were in denial.
Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% what it was. And a lot of the conversations we had, I'm like, okay, like, this is not as bad as I thought therapy was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, and it was really, it was eye-opening. And so throughout that, he actually did several tests, and basically I was diagnosed with major depression at that time. So, and I was like, great, now I have a label to go with it.
Yeah.
And that's really what it felt like.
It was just one more thing at that point.
Yeah. I'm like, awesome. Like, what's next? And little did I know that not too long after that, my brother Z, I call him brother, but he was also really dealing with it, but he went off to basic training. Mm-hmm. And was just struggling.
Yeah.
And he also struggled to open up to people. And he ended up fighting that same internal battle, mm-hmm. for mental health. Mm-hmm. And I saw him go through it, and I tried to walk with him. And as much as I could, given the distance of him being all the way in where he was stationed and then here. And so he ended up taking his life not too long after all that happened. And I was like, great. One of the few people I trusted is gone, mm-hmm. dealing with the same thing I did. And that put me in an even darker place.
Yeah.
And a lot of you were like, great. Like, this is super depressing. Like, great. Like, where is this going? Well, so a lot of factors kind of came in. One, that was like my breaking point. Like, I was like, what's next? And that's where I actually launched, that's kind of where UC came out of, was in that pain and in that darkness, because not a lot of people know this, but I created a video that really launched UC, and mm-hmm. it was called Vulnerability. And it was just kind of my internal thoughts of everything I was feeling, everything I was thinking. And I'm like, I wish someone could see and feel and hear what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel like anyone could.
Yeah.
And did. And I'm like, I am utterly alone.
Yeah.
And so I filmed that, and then it's about to get really dark. So trigger warning, this might get like really kind of graphic. But that video, actually part of that script was a letter I had written, mm-hmm. like a goodbye letter. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I was like, I'm going to film this video, I'm going to record this audio, I'm going to put it out there, mm-hmm. and that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my final thing to the world. And that's where it was heading. And I did that. I posted it. I was like, all right. And the next thing you know, I had people who were like, hey, like, thank you for showing me this, because this is exactly how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, really?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people actually reached out, like, oh my gosh, like, I feel the exact same way. No one knowing the, like, the actual connotation, because I'd hidden it with, like, oh, I'm putting this out there to help people, and not, like, my own desperate cry.
Yeah.
Like, this was, hey, this is a cool video to help you. And so, yeah, that's the dark truth behind where this organization, where this passion project, movement, wherever you want to call it, movement started. And yeah, it's hard to talk about, but that was the first step of mm-hmm. realizing I wasn't alone. And then it went from that to, okay, I need to be more intentional about seeking the help, because I'm like,
yeah,
I know I'm not alone. Now I know I need to confront this.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped out of, like, that phase of denial, and I worked with my therapist. We talked more.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me get on medication that helped me for a long time. And so, like, and then on top of all of that is when I really stepped into the church and mm-hmm. was like, you know what? Like, I cannot do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing we talk a lot about here is that spiritual side of things.
Which is very, very important.
Very, very important. And I didn't, I knew how important it was. I grew up knowing how important it was. But none of that felt applicable at the time.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
it didn't feel real.
Yeah, exactly. And you're a pastor's kid. So,
yeah.
So I know that you can relate to a lot of, like, oh man, just pray more.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard, I can't tell you how many times, not for me specifically,
mm-hmm.
but I heard so many times, I heard people say, just pray through, which sounds like, oh, all I have to do is pray.
Mm-hmm.
But to someone who's going through it, that's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. you gave me the what, but not the how, like, not the how.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it was like, okay, that in the moment, it was like, that feels like a cheap, like, okay, like good
a cop.
Luck. Yeah. And as I've gone through this journey more, I've realized, like, it's very true, but it's just part of the story.
Yeah.
So, like, and we believe in that, like, the holistic approach. So,
mm-hmm.
like, God designed the body, God mm-hmm. designed who we are, He designed our physiology.
All of it works together, people.
Exactly. So, it's like, I always think of, like, a scale. Like, there's a ball and there's, like, a platform on it
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, balanced. And so you have your corners being, like, your physical health, your mental health,
yep.
your spiritual health, and your social health.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those, like, if you're not well balanced in that, you're going to tip, and it's going to affect all the other areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's really what was happening. And so once I kind of pieced that together and started addressing each and every single one of those areas, so, like, mentally, I was seeing a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So, socially, instead of, because during this time I was working, jogging, and locking myself in my room.
Yeah.
That's all I was doing.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking to people. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want any of that. And so I was like, you know what? This is not helping me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pushing me darker and darker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and someone who's as extroverted as you.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And yeah, which looking back, I'm like, oh, that's a little obvious. I was really not in a good place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I focused on that. I focused on my spiritual health by actually going to church and being intentional. And
mm-hmm.
most of us here on the team are Christians.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, for me, it was like, hey, I'm going to go to church and I'm actually going to, like, give it my all.
Yeah, be committed.
Exactly. Not just, like, go through the motions.
Yeah.
So that helped me. And then physically, I mean, I was working out, so that helped. But mm-hmm. also there was, like, the physical components in my brain that the medication was helping mm-hmm. me with. So I really experienced kind of working on that holistic approach for myself, and that's really where the turning point was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I can go if you'd like.
Yeah.
So we had not so similar experiences, but we kind of went through the similar things. You said you had a heart condition. You weren't the athletic kid. Mm-hmm. Stuff. See, whenever I was in school, I was the athletic kid. I was the kid that had the good grades. I did all of that, but I still somehow couldn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I tried several times. I just constantly kept getting bullied, and it beat me down. And I remember it was really bad when I was going through middle school. I punched a kid. And I didn't get in trouble for it, but they stopped messing with me after that. So that's not advocating violence. That's just saying I got to a point that was so bad that I did something irrational.
Yeah. That was your tipping point.
That was my almost a breaking point there. Yeah. And it got better after that for a while. And then I remember whenever I was a sophomore in high school, I was watching a TV show by myself that I probably shouldn't have been watching. And I saw someone get stabbed in the throat. And that was a trigger for me. And I started going downhill from that point, and it went pretty dark. Like, not to the point of wanting to harm myself, but because of what I saw, my brain was like, hey, you want to hurt that person? And I said, no, I don't want to hurt that person. Like, constantly, that was the battle going on in my head.
Right.
And thankfully I never actually hurt someone.
Yeah.
Because that would have been very, very bad.
Yeah.
But it was a constant thing. And then my grandfather passed away, and it just made it worse. And it wasn't until I didn't really do anything about it. I'll say that. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't know the holistic approach to it. Mm. I literally did what you said. At that point I would go to school, and then I would go sit in my room.
Yeah.
That's all I would do. And when I tried to talk to people, no one wanted to listen. And it made me feel more and more alone.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I was like with my friends, and I felt a disconnect, like being with my friends.
Yeah, no, I know that feeling that you're talking about. Like, you can be in a crowd, like even your closest friends, and you're just like, you're not there.
Like imagine like your fish at a pet store, and I was the beta, and they were all of the fish in another tank.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get there.
Hmm.
That's how I felt.
That's a good visual.
Yeah. It was rough for a while. And then I went to college and thought I had friends, but turned out they were just humoring me because I was new there. And then they decided to not have anything to do with me the second semester. And that made it worse. And I tried church. Obviously, I'm a pastor's kid. I tried my best there.
Yeah.
But I ended up just sitting on a pew, basically, just filling a position.
Right. Going through the motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't really a whole lot I could do about it. And I got married, still was going through when I got married.
Yeah.
I don't know why my wife picked me in that position, but I guess she saw something that I didn't. And then we moved to Indiana. It wasn't until I met you and people here that I realized like what it actually meant to kind of get out of that. And my social went up because I actually had friends now. Spiritual, I stopped just going through the motions and got more involved. I came to church and had like an actual experience, what I would say is an experience with God.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that flipped a switch there in my social, or not social, my spiritual health. And, you know, I'm still working on the physical health, obviously.
Me too.
I'm much overweight.
Hey, yeah, we'll contribute that to being happy in marriage.
But, yeah, for sure. But I still am here, even past couple of days, been struggling. Like, it's like once it started for me, it just hasn't stopped. And it's kind of gotten to the point I'm still making irrational decisions sometimes. Like, well, I say that I want to, but I force myself not to make those irrational decisions. You know?
Right. Yeah. I think it's okay to have those thoughts of making those irrational decisions. I don't think that's like a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's like, it's not as bad as it was. Like, my irrational decisions are like, I should just leave work right now and never come back. Like, you know, obviously I can't do that. My wife is pregnant and due in literally like 2 months. If I quit my job in this economy, could I find one? Like,
It goes to get, like, I want to give you credit, like the self-control that you have. Like, yeah, those thoughts are going to come up, and but like just knowing and being able to rationalize all of that is super important. And the other thing I like that you said was just that you were open about, I'm still occasionally going through this.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing is like, yeah, you can be super healthy and be, you know, trying to strengthen all four of these areas in your life, but like you're still gonna go through that.
Yeah,
like, it's not like a what, like it, oh, it'll, I'm perfectly
it'll
balanced
come in seasons.
Exactly,
you know, from time to time. For me, it tends. I mean, obviously, it tends to be worse during the winter because
seasonal depressions.
But it will continue through the spring for me a lot of times, which is not something that I feel like normally happens with seasonal affective disorder. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it, I don't really know how to describe it.
No, yeah, that's fair.
It's my main thing is I now have people who will listen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing that really drove it for me to fall darker and deeper into it was I felt like no one wanted to listen and I didn't feel heard.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Well, and some of the people that would have listened, I didn't want to talk to because I knew what they were going to say. It was going to be the pray through thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to hear it at that time. I didn't want anything to do with church or anything at that time.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think there's when you hear that stuff, it's like, yeah, that's great. Like we grew up hearing that, but I mean, you can tell people that as much as you want, but they've got to want that.
Yeah.
They've got to want to pursue that.
To me at that point, like, and that's didn't think that was a real viable thing that I could.
Right.
You know, I didn't see myself like, I was like, there's no way I could pray enough to get me to this point.
Yeah.
Get me out of from where I'm at.
Yeah. No. And that's, yeah, no, I've been there. But yeah, no, there's definitely, I mean, prayer is a big aspect.
It is. And absolutely.
It helps a lot. So like, don't, and like, no one listen to this and think we're discounting prayer.
Oh, for sure. Prayer is very, very, very powerful. And I mean, if nothing else for you, it could be a way to get your emotions out.
Yeah.
You know, because like whenever I'm going through this, a lot of times I will, like today I was walking around at work and I said, God, you made me new. Why do I still feel broken?
Yeah.
I literally said that out loud, walking around counting parts.
Yeah. That's so good. Cause like that's the difference is like other people have to hold that in, but it's like for people that have a faith background and know that like that God is someone who's there and wants to listen and be involved and take all that on. Like we don't have to hold that to ourselves. Like we can share with those around us.
Mm-hmm.
And if if you have faith and you're a Christian, you can share it with God because we know that he listens. So like, mm-hmm. And it all just really kind of wraps it up nice in life. Cause it's like, you have so many more options and more like ways to get that out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to focus on one area
mm-hmm.
more than like all of them at the same time.
Because
it's like, oh man, like I barely have the energy to do this one thing.
I don't want to go bench press.
Right. Like that's the thing I'm struggling with now. Like you and I were working out. So
we were going to the gym like every day.
Yeah. Like almost like 4 or 5 times a week.
We were gym bros for like 2 months.
And I was so proud of us. And then like, unfortunately life happens. My car broke down.
My schedule at work changed.
And our buddy who was supposed to be accountable took a scuba diving class.
Yeah. He hates us.
So, and it's just stuff like that. And so like things come up and I feel just being able to be intentional about it
mm-hmm.
is going to help. Cause
well, we just need to put it on our calendar. That's, that's one thing. Take small steps too. Like, that's something that's so important. Like I heard this listening to another podcast the other day. I was listening to Office Ladies. I love that podcast.
Yeah.
And they partnered with I can't remember her name, but her podcast is The Lazy Genius. And she was talking about taking mm-hmm. small steps. And she said, I wanted to do yoga. So she said she did one yoga move a day for like 3 months, the same one every day for like 3 months and built it up to where she was like, now she does it, you know?
Yeah. And that's a really good way to look at things. Cause like when you are dealing with depression, whether it's like an actual diagnosis or whether it's like seasonal thing or maybe it's just like a season of it that you're going through
mm-hmm.
really being intentional about doing one thing that you don't necessarily feel like you want to do. So like for me, like I would, when I was really going through it, I would like struggle getting up at a good time
mm-hmm.
and work didn't help because I had weird hours. So like I would work in the afternoon, I'd come home and I'd sleep pretty late into the morning because I'm like, I don't have to work until the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it just kind of really fed into the whole not being social thing.
Yep.
And it was like, and one thing I did is like, okay, I'm going to wake up at a decent time.
Yeah.
And it seems like such a small thing. It or like, hey, I'm going to shower.
It is a small thing.
I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to.
In that moment, it was major for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I'm going to reach out to one person today and just talk to them.
Heck, write down how you feel. That could be it.
Dude, journaling. For me, I always thought journaling, I was like, I don't want to keep a diary.
Yeah.
That's cheesy. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But someone kind of, or I think it was actually my therapist, was like, hey, this is actually a really good coping mechanism mm-hmm. to really put down what's going on up there.
Yeah.
It feels like there's so much happening in your mind, and being able to sit down, because your pen can only go as fast
as your hand.
As your hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Your brain moves faster than your hand.
Yeah. So like forcing your brain to slow down
mm-hmm.
and write it down. Like, that does make a difference. Yeah. Thank you for... I was struggling with...
No,
like,
you're good.
Like, well, I've heard this before.
No, you're good. Your brain was moving too fast.
My brain was moving too fast. My mouth couldn't keep up.
Journaling doesn't have to be sitting there and writing,
no.
I feel this way today.
Yes.
I did this yesterday.
Dearest diary.
Yeah. If you're creative, write poetry.
Yeah.
Write music. Do it, short stories, creative writing, any of that based on how you're feeling can help you get that out there.
Do you want to... I'm actually so glad you said that. Yes, you're absolutely right. One thing that while I was dealing, like right at the initial start of like me dealing with all my mental health and felt like everything was crashing down at once, I was actually in a poetry class mm-hmm. at my school.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it was we had to write a poetry book that had like certain criteria for all the different poems. And let me tell you, that was probably the darkest thing I've ever written. And oh my gosh, it was literally called Dear Therapist.
Oh wow.
I'm not even joking.
Wow.
I like the picture, I can see it now, because we had to like make it all fancy and like it had to be bound and whatever. But the cover page was a black image
mm-hmm.
and with a slightly different like texture over a couch. So mm-hmm. like when you'd hold it at an angle, you'd see the couch with the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading through that poetry book that I wrote, which I am not a poet,
mm-hmm.
and FYI. But oh my goodness, it was like the darkest, most depressing thing. And I'm like, looking back, I'm like, wow, I didn't realize how low of a place I was. And it was a pretty eye-opening thing to be like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't make myself write a lot of things down. One of my comfort shows is Boy Meets World. Love it. So I was watching that and I got to the episode where...
Is it not The Office?
Well, that is now, but
back then it was
Meets World.
Okay.
I still love Boy Meets World. Don't get me wrong, but...
We watched it together like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I was watching it and got to the episode where they discovered Sean wrote poetry and I was like, I'm going to try that. And I wrote one super dark poem and I was like...
It's a running theme.
I said... I need to end this in a happy way. That way, if my parents ever find this, they're not thinking I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, my goodness.
And I ended it in a happy way, and I put a line next to it knowing that is an edit. That's not the actual poem. That way, if I wanted to go back and read it or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of that.
I wanted to hide it.
Like, yeah. Well, no one wants to be like, hey, I'm in this really dark place.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No one wants to do that. Even though that's going to be the thing that's going to help them the most
mm-hmm.
is like actually opening up, letting the people closest to you.
More than any medicine could help. I mean, I'm not discounting that. Use that. That is a tool to use.
You need,
do it.
Talk to your doctor.
But, you know, from my experience, that is way more useful for me anyway than anything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to start somewhere.
It does.
Like it really does. And so like if you're holding on to it and you're not telling anyone, you're going to keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ever find the help you need. Mm-hmm. And that's why one of the first things we did when we started offering resources to people was Brandon, who basically helped co-found UC with me, was he and I designed these mental health evaluations.
Yeah. I've gone through them.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're actually on our website and you can go through them. The thing with our evaluations is you don't get like diagnosis.
Yeah,
we're
not doctors.
We're not doctors. We're not professionals. We're just people that are passionate about telling other people to talk about their mental health.
Yeah.
And that's literally the goal of those evaluations is you fill out the questions honestly,
mm-hmm.
and then you take that printout and then you can either give it to, I don't know, give it to your parents, give it to your best friend, give it to your doctor.
Go to a therapist.
Give it to your therapist. Yeah, exactly. And then use that as like, hey, I don't know where to start. I don't know what conversation, like, I don't even know where to go, but mm-hmm. I took this. These are my answers. Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that.
There's someone who will listen to you.
Yeah.
There is somebody there that will listen to you.
Yeah. And it's just knowing that there are people around you.
Yeah.
and not to be scared. Because that's the thing is, once I did start the conversation with those around me, so many people were like, oh my gosh, like I've been there. And they've been able to guide me through it out of their own experience. And who knows? I pray that you guys, if you're going through something and you're in a dark place, years from now, when you've learned to work through it or are still working through it, you can help guide others that are opening up to you. So that's the goal. That's why we do this.
It is. It really is. And, kind of the moral of both of our stories here is tell people things like Michael did. Don't do what I did and try to get through it on your own and try to hide it by writing happy endings to your dark poetry about wanting to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Be real, be authentic, and be honest to those around you.
Yeah.
That was my phone. Oh my goodness.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you.
I have access to the buttons, everybody.
We needed some comic relief in the middle of all that.
We did.
It was getting heavy.
It got a little heavy there.
Yeah.
It was heavier than a sumo wrestler.
Zach, is there anything that we need to close this out with? Thank you to everyone who has made it this far. And I know it can be a heavy topic, so do some self-care. Figure out, contemplate what we've talked about, but go and like do something nice for yourself.
If my current boss is listening to this, I will be okay, I promise. Oh my goodness.
Yes, Zach is doing well. Right?
Yeah.
Doing well?
Sure.
Okay.
I got out of bed this morning. That's a win.
Hey, it's a small
thing. That's my small thing today.
Yeah.
I got out of bed 15 minutes late, but I got out of bed.
And you got to work.
On time.
And
I don't know how I did that. But
I don't know how you did that either.
Anyway, be well. Don't hide from people.
Yeah. Be open. For more resources, like the evaluations, go on to unmaskedculture.org. Fill out the evaluation. Share it. Talk to your friends and family about what you're going through. And just know that you've got this.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Unmasked podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find more content like this on our website at unmaskedculture.org. While you're there, consider supporting us by making a donation. Your donation will help us pursue our mission to change how the world views mental health. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, start the conversation.